We know, don't we, that it wasn't just Paul and Jesus who were single and showed us great examples of people who can live totally fulfilled and complete lives. Modern day examples like our very own Mike Pilavachi is like an incredible spiritual father to thousands of young people. And I'm just not sure he could have been so used by God for like 25 years of Soul Survivor if he'd have had his own family commitments. So many champions of our faith who've lived completely extraordinary lives have been single. You think of Mother Teresa. No one has ever said of Mother Teresa, oh, she'd have been so much more effective and fulfilled if only she'd have got married. Nobody ever says that. Because she just got on with the call of God on her life and was able to pour out her love, her time, her effort, her energy on the people that God had called her to love. I met a guy called Dave a few years ago who was in his 50s, and he was one of these people that just sparkled with joy. You know, like joy was coming out of his eyes. He had dimples. He just was joyful. And he had spent his whole life mentoring troubled lads. And he said this to me, remaining single has helped me to fully live my life for others. I've got freedom to love others generously and without partiality. I don't need to focus my attentions on one woman or one set of young people. I love young people everywhere, all the time. Just thought, what a brilliant example. And it's a different perspective to what we normally hear, but it's a really healthy perspective and a really biblical perspective. You know, in the early church, the first 300 years of the early church, the front rows were reserved for those who were single and had renounced marriage for the sake of getting on with their God adventure, their God call. So we need, I think, lots more models of single people in our churches who are flourishing and fulfilled and complete. And you know, here's the strange but really true thing. The more content you are when you are single, the more content you will be when you're in a relationship. And I've seen that over and over and over again. I've led a fantastic church called Open Heaven, not too far from here, Loughborough. And I've watched lots and lots of sort of 18 to 25-year-olds. And the ones who've been most content as single people have ended up being the most content when they've married. So contentment with your current status starts with gratitude for all the good things it gives you. So if you're single right now, think about the freedom and the possibilities and the opportunities you have to love God wholeheartedly, unreservedly, with everything there is about you. And there's also some really important things that you can do if you are still in that single life stage. That means you either become the best husband or wife you can be, a real gift to your future marriage partner, or if you don't get married, helps you to live a single life in contentment and completeness, like Mike or like Dave. So, three things to work on in a single life stage. Number one, strengthen your identity and your security in God. Work hard at knowing, really knowing, not just in your head, but in your heart, at who you are in God, what he says about you, that you are a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. Work really hard at that stuff, your adoption, your status, your inheritance, to see yourself as God sees you, because that builds really, really deep, strong foundations, that your personal sense of being a significant person, your personal sense of security, your personal sense of self-worth, when it's rooted in Christ, then you really do become either a fantastic husband or wife or a content, complete single person. There's a guy who did loads of marriage counselling, and he said quite a shocking statement, which when I first heard it, I was like, oh, can you really say that? But then I thought about it, I thought, I get what he's saying. And he said this, it's good to be able to say to your life partner, I really love you, but I could live without you. But actually what he was saying was, if a relationship is filling the gap that only God really can, then that relationship will always be on rocky ground and have shaky foundations. Because a relationship will never truly complete us. Christ completes us. And so to have that deep, deep, deep sense of security, identity, and roots that are in him, then means actually that we are someone who can love our life partner with, you know, we love them to pieces. But we're not, our well-being isn't on them. It's like we're able to enter a relationship, able to give, and we're not entering a relationship needing to take to get kind of our foundations filled up. Some people, if you know you've gone from relationship to relationship recently, God might just be saying to you, have a season of singleness. That can really help if you know you haven't yet got your roots really deeply rooted in God. And then number two, get healed up from hurts in the past. There's nobody here in this space who hasn't got some little emotional wounds or hits or hurts from their history. It's impossible. You can't live through this messed up, blessed up world. You can't go through life. Whether it's just, you know, we've all of us got imperfect parents. I'm an imperfect parent. Damaging friendships, bullying bosses, you know, stuff from school. Just like, and I would encourage you, just get healed up where some of those hurts are. Wise people face their stuff, work through it. And if you need to get extra help from Christian counselors, then do that. You can only disown what you first own. And if you do that, this is what will happen. If you are single now and you stay single, you enable your destiny in God to be outworked without any barriers or limits or lids when you've sorted out your own emotional wounds and hurts. Equally, if you get married, you are truly a gift to your marriage partner and not some kind of time bomb that's waiting to explode with unresolved issues. So if you know there's some hidden hurt or pain, then please just get the help that you need. It's not great to wait till you've got a life partner and children to then go on the emotionally draining process of counselling. Don't take your family on that roller coaster. Deal with your stuff now. And then number three, fulfill your calling. Don't put yourself or your dreams on hold, thinking, oh, you know, I just wait until I get hitched. I just wait until I find the right one, and then I'll start outworking my calling. The fact is, it's your calling that fulfills you and not being married. Marriage is brilliant, and it has loads of blessings. But in terms of deep down fulfillment, it's outworking what you've been put on this earth to do that really does it. Don't put your calling on hold until you get married, particularly women in the room. Sometimes there can be a bit of a lie, or I'll just wait, I'll just sit at the side, and then when I get married, and then I'll step into my calling. Don't do it. I felt God call me to church plant at 21, and I didn't get married until I was 26. You know, and I, women of God in this room, don't put yourself and your calling on hold. There is a lie, I think, in our culture that says sexual fulfillment equals human fulfillment. And it is not true. I want to say to you, even though you're in a culture right now that my perspective is pretty toxic when it comes to the messages that are being communicated to you about your bodies and marriage and sex, there is a lie that says sexual fulfillment equals human fulfillment. It is a lie. Human fulfillment comes from being complete in Christ. So, walk into your calling confidently. And if you do all of that, security and identity in God, get healed up from your hurts, walk into your calling, then you will end up living a life of completeness and adventure, whether or not you stay single or whether you get married. In essence, what you're doing is you're becoming more focused on becoming the right partner than finding the right partner. And that is a brilliantly counterculture way to be. All too often, people put their time, effort, energy into finding the right partner. What about if actually you just concentrated on becoming the right partner? What you're actually doing is, if you do get married, I believe you're saving your marriage before it even starts. Because you are a secure, complete, whole person, and you're giving yourself as a gift. So, there's some foundations to lay that I think are really, well, you'll end up living a really healthy, complete life. So what then does happen? You've done maybe some work on identity, security. You know, you're kind of, you're walking with God. What happens when someone comes along and you go, God did a really good job when he made them? What do you do? How do you start a relationship in a way that honours God and honours them? Well, of course, in biblical times, there was no such thing as going out. It was all arranged marriages. So we kind of need to take the principles that we see in the Bible of how to treat others and then apply those into how do we go out in a God-honouring way. So let me read to you some verses from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. Again, write these down if you're taking notes. The version I'm about to read to you is from the Message version. 1 Corinthians 13. This is the principles of treating others as God wants us to into the area of relationships. So, it's all about love. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't flay off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with